On this week's show, MEP Innovation FOMO. If you weren't there, this is as close as you're going to get.
Construction is the world's oldest industry, but spends the least amount of money on innovation. When we realized people outside the construction industry didn't typically associate construction with technology like virtual reality, apps, and robotics, we started The Contech Crew. Each week, we bring our listeners the latest in Contech news and interview the minds behind the technological innovations changing the way we build. So strap in, enjoy the ride, and geek out. It's Contech Crew time.
That should be happening, but it's not. It's a crossover episode. It's a dork overload on the Contech Crew. If you guys don't know, there's a lot of crossover between podcasts in this business, people in this business. Two of my favorite construction dorks, the construction dorks themselves, got to gather at MEP Innovation. And really, combo of work and fun, right? Right, guys? So Trent, say hello.
I'm sure we have a lot of common fans listening to this show, as well as the construction dorks. There's obviously one massive staple that exists across both platforms, and that is the one and only Jeff Sample. But fresh off a really, really productive and fun week out in LA. It's always great when all the like minds and all the old industry peers and friends can get together and have those in-person discussions. It just seems like we never get enough of those. So it was a great week. I had a great time spending it with both of you guys, Travis and Jeff, and of course Jonathan and the rest of the.
Yeah, he who shall not be named in the four square boxes that's not here today. Jonathan Marsh couldn't catch up because, well, you know, he's got a lot of work to do out there. But don't worry, we got Travis Voss with us. Travis, what's up, man?
Words that are stuck in my head now with all the intros is crisscross is going to make you jump.
I was thinking the same thing.
Jeff, you are the host with the most, right? You're keeping this all together, keeping us on track. This would be, Innovation Conference, I always say, is my favorite conference of the year. Not to really slight any other ones, but it's my best friends. And then, 700 of my other very close friends that we all get together. It's a pretty unique opportunity for peers to teach peers, something that we're very conscious of. And this is my second term being involved on the other side of it, on the association side and not the contractor side. So definitely a lot to talk about. We could probably do a deep dive.
Did the AIs take over? All right, we're going to get into the deep dive. But before we do, remember, guys, we're back on YouTube. So check us out at youtube.com/@TheContechCrew. I'm seeing those subscriptions go up and it's making me really, really happy. Remember to drop some comments in there, too. The shorts are going out. They're brand new, a little flair, a little new news to it, a little new stuff in there. So go check it out. I recently talked to some project team members at Commodore Builders. They told me about their assistant superintendent spending an entire week copying from spec books into spreadsheets while their PM would lose sleep over missing something in his contracts. Does that sound familiar? Well, then they got Document Crunch. With Document Crunch's Crunch AI, they were automatically able to create project playbooks for kickoff. They were chatting with their project documents to quickly get reliable answers to questions. That superintendent isn't spending a week in her spec book, and the PM, he has the confidence of getting it right every time. And best of all, you can now find Document Crunch within Procore, right where so many of you already work. Check out this video at documentcrunch.com/contechcrew and sign up for a demo while you're there. You'll thank me for it. Travis, you hinted at it. Your second year is part on the other side of the planning side of it from the contractor side. And I think Trent, you said we were in LA. So I want to start it out with, there was a conscious decision to stay the course and go to LA and stay in LA. I want to highlight the relief fund that was created by each NECA, SMACNA, and MCAA to, help with the recovery efforts. There was a lot of discussion about why did we continue to go? And it was, really based a lot around, and Travis, you can talk about this, if we had pulled out, that's money that doesn't go into that local economy and right. Could be even more impactful. So talk a little bit about it and tell me what's up.
Yeah, I know, there was obviously a lot of discussions, a lot of questions, a lot of extra planning that went into, you know, what if we do have to kind of pull the cord on this? But I don't think that there was, those discussions are obviously you have to have plans and what ifs if things get to that point. But pretty early on, I was doing a scouting trip out there. I think I was there the day the fire started. At no point in time did the city ever seem like they were just going to give up. And to your point there, like, yes, the three associations along with their foundations all came together and guaranteed a $60,000 donation to a local relief fund. But beyond that, having, you know, all told probably 750 people coming into town, spending money at the airport, spending money downtown, all the venues that each of our sponsors and vendors rented out, like, you know, that has an impact. Yes, these people need relief and support, but, you know, they still need to earn their money. They need to work their jobs, and us pulling out would have taken away from that. So sometimes the best thing you can do is just stay on course and, you know, uphold your end of the deal.
Yeah, a lot of discussion about what the recovery will look like, how many contractors will be involved in it. It's going to be a huge effort on the contracting side. It will spawn some materials conversation, et cetera. Labor and efficiency conversations in the area are going to be a key to the recovery efforts. But yeah, so we decided to stay, and I think it was the right thing to do. My own little Gallup poll of people while we were there felt like it was the right thing to do in the end. So I'm excited. Let's talk a little bit about what people missed out on. So we did it, you know, mixed it up a little bit. Day one was, man, jam-packed with excellent sessions. We rarely talk about profits in the world, and I got to start mine. It was supposed to be DJ Phipps and Josh Bone on protecting project profits, but they decided to bring in Jeff Elwell and Adam Rood, two contractors, E.M. Duggan for Jeff Elwell, and Trent, I think you know. Ermco for Adam, and talk about the reality of what they're seeing. And that, I mean, that discussion, I think they got to do about a slide and a half, and then the crowd really, really kicked it. Lot of discussion about just, you know, the overlap and where we're going in that world. And it's just good to see us kind of getting the project profits out on the table, Travis. You know, contractors don't talk profits, right?
No. But I think it's good. And I think this is one of another one of the unique points of this conference is we talked before about co-opetition. And I like that you say that the crowd kind of takes over, because I think most of the speakers, even though we're peer-to-peer and we're there to learn something, like a lot of the speakers really encourage those conversations and discussions. And, you know, because we're in our MEP bubble, we're all members of the association, like you're going to get some real talk that maybe you don't get elsewhere. And I think that's kind of what you're highlighting here is let's get profits out there. And this was, you know, as we continue to talk through the content, this was a growing theme in the entire conference was one, exposing more and using more data. And two, our attendees have changed, right? We've gone from the BIM manager, the fabrication facilitator. We do have C-suite people. We have vice presidents. We have executives. And these are the types of conversations they need to have.
Yeah, you stole my thunder. That's where I was going with it. It's been really awesome to see that evolution. I mean, I think all three of us were a part of when it was MCAA, you know, when it was the tech committee. Travis, you and I were both at one time on that committee, and we've seen this thing from the infancy, and you've seen the real growth. And when bringing Smatna and Nika in, and now the real growth has been in who's attending the conference. It's not, you know, these aren't, it's not a complete room full of VDC techs and detailers anymore. I mean, you get people like Joseph Lansdell up there, like, you know, president of probably, you know, one of the most successful and biggest sheet metal companies in the country. I mean, it's definitely, there are some heavy hitting, high powered, knowledgeable, people attending these things now and providing a lot of content. So I just think it's turned into a primo conference just in that regard alone.
Yeah, it's kind of its own melting pot, right? Because there is still a lot of tech. I don't want to underscore. There is a lot walking around that room of hands dirty, in the weeds, getting stuff done. They're growing in their careers too, which, you know, highlights the session that I got talked to a lot about that I didn't get to go to was career path mapping, Stephanie McShane from Maxim Consulting, heard a lot of great feedback about that. And again, it fell right in line, Travis, with this whole, you know, how are we building careers? You know, we've been doing this for so long now that we are seeing our own peers transform and need new things. And, you know, and still need to stay close. And, you know, a lot of us can't get undirty in a lot of ways. So
Right. We
got to kind of see that. And on the sort of the planning side, you guys had that makes it a hard bucket to go find things to do. But I think you guys balanced it pretty well.
With it being in LA and the West Coast trip, you kind of alluded to the fact that the first day we went right into it, right? We kind of made the assumption that a lot of people are going to be coming across country. So we had an opening reception on Monday night, and we just decided let's hit the ground running. And I do think that we had some high powered sessions. I like that we highlighted that, you know, Stephanie's career path mapping. It's something Maxim had done for a couple of our chapters, and then we made it into it in our contractor operations manual here at SMACNA. But it was definitely something we wanted to bring to the larger MEP community, because you're right. You know, obviously we talk about the growth in the industry we're seeing with our peers, but we're always talking about recruiting, right? And how do we recruit new people? And a lot of these people, you know, you're 20 to 30 year olds, they want to know where do you project me to be in 5 years? And it can't be the, I don't know, work the job and we'll see where it ends up. Like a lot of our folks want to see where they're going to progress to.
I'm going to do my own little throw a flag on my own play. Cause I went straight construction dork style and just thought, well, everybody knows MEP. No, I probably should say, given that I'm hoping we have a really diverse audience. I know we do. MEP Innovations is the evolution of the MCAA technology conference that really followed, I would say, the path of the trades themselves and brought together MCAA, Mechanical Association of America, NECA, the National Electrical Contractors Association, and SMACNA, which I'm going to get wrong, but is the Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors. Right?
National Association.
SMACNA. I forgot
there
the
you
NUH.
Go. You got
I
it.
Got the hard part. I forgot the NUH. So, and it's a combo of all three of the organizations coming together to create one event that focuses around the commonalities and highlights some of the differences and some of the problems that exist or complications that exist in what we're seeing from trades is a multi-trade approach to the future of construction. And so we should have highlighted that. It's a 3-day event held annually. And you're right. It is my favorite. And it also kicks off the year usually. So pretty excited. Cool thing you guys did that I wanted to cover a little bit about was the breakout sessions. On day one, you guys did a specific, like, I wouldn't say tracks on everything, but, you know, there was something for everybody, but there was always a round table setting to have at every single one. And I thought that was a really good decision to give anybody that was, I don't know, say stewing would might be the word, but I mean, the round tables were everything, quantifying, qualifying, you know, EVM. Roundtable on estimating, tech tips and tricks. You know, I think somebody here can talk a little bit about those tech tips and tricks. Establishing VDC standards for your company, you know, integrating GC's tech. Like, they kind of went on and on. So, I mean, I know, Trent, you got to run one. So talk a little bit about, like, what your approach was to a roundtable and why those are important.
I think they're really important because this is how the conference continues to facilitate like the regulars are and the newbies. So, I mean, there's kind of, you know, there's two aspects to a successful growth, like the growth of a conference like this is one, you want to cater to the people that have kind of been around and involved from the beginning, and you want to continue to kind of grow their involvement and engagement. But you also have to find ways to kind of cater to people that are new to the scene and maybe attending for the first time, second time, or thinking about attending. And that's what these different pathways kind of do, because you get a lot of options. So, you know, they really benefit someone like me who's maybe been there 7 or 8 times, where I don't have to go sit in the same talking points that I've listened to for 5 or 6 years in a row. But the argument of that isn't you don't get rid of those talking points because you still have new people coming in.
Yeah.
So you need those legacy discussions that are really important to our movement and what we're trying to do. But, you know, if I've sat in that 5 or 6 times, you know, I kind of want things that I can come see that are different and new to me. So I think it's the perfect evolution and it's the right thing to do. You've got like a pathway for the new people coming in that can get involved in the movement and learn what we're all about and what are the high level things that we're moving towards. And then you've got kind of these one-offs where, you know, I can come in and say, hey, you know, I got the big picture, but let me kind of dive into these nooks and crannies or maybe get into one trench for a little while and see what's going on in there. So that's what I like about it. I think it's the right way to do it. And I know, you know, Travis, you guys did a great job and I know it'll continue to go that way.
Yeah, Travis is our representative. You know, lots of our friends in that planning world there. We appreciate all of them. So thanks to everybody that dove in and made that happen. But to your point, Trent, about needing to dive in, one of the cool things was we are connecting conferences this year. And this will be a little self-promotion because I got to do this. But last year, Jonathan Marsh and the ASC team did a Mentimeter live and really polled live who we had in the room, and that exposed a lot of what we're talking about. So it that gives us two things to talk about here. We're eating our own dog food and talking about data and data empowerment and, you know, really understanding through data who we have in the room, but also understanding that data does not tell a particular story without context. And so since that time, there's been a lot of discussion, but also I've been had the privilege to do some research into what is the evolution the attendee look like. So what happened was we found, to our own surprise, that we had kind of elevated into this executive leadership roles being in attendance along with all the other folks in the room. And what did that mean? And for me, it was really cool to see that it meant a lot of our friends and people we've been side by side with are growing into leadership roles, which is natural. Right. But that actually exposed a lot of problems. Like when truly sitting down with those folks in my research, I had a chance to attend SMACNO's National Conference, MCAA Technology Committee meeting, and a couple of other, I attended an Electri event. So I've had some time to dig in. And there's ones who will stay off camera that talked about the struggles, things they wish they had, you know, specific things to learn, et cetera, to know. So in my session on creating a data empowered contractor, we focused on those three roles that we see in the future, the CIO, the CTO, and then the CEO. So I got to present and kind of run a panel with Chris Weaver from Andy J. Egan, Matt Lamb from CIO of Rosendin, and then Joseph Lanzel from Pointer, to talk about each of their representations. And, you know, Joseph representing that 18-year executive leader who has had to change and be a part of the change. And then, you know, Matt and Chris, as they came up, Chris through the VDC side, more towards that CTO. He's a director of innovation and technology, but, you know, I'm going to call him a CTO. And Matt Lamb, who is a CIO at Rosendin, who's a true IT person. And that was, I mean, you guys, that's a lot of fun to see that. You know, Trent, you were smiling when I said what we found.
Yeah. Well, there's two, because in my mind, there's two things happening. One, there's more leadership that's joining the conference. But two, and the one that I noticed, because I get to look around and see all these peoples that that I came up through peers in this game and look around and they're all, you know, C-level, VP, presidency. I mean, these people are elevating. And I've got I can name a handful of people that I kind of came up at the same time with and collaborated with. And now I'm looking at them and, you know, they're doing some big things.
They're leading the charge, man.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, there's a couple things happening there and it is pretty cool to witness. Yeah, just having to have a lot of those peers and friends that owning companies are you know, really, really big into the leadership of these contractors now.
Yeah, it's cool to see them learn.
I was going to tag on that. It is kind of interesting, and you pointed this out when you were talking about Chris, like more and more of these people are assuming these roles, but the titles haven't caught it yet. So I'm kind of interested to see, and it's not saying that these people's companies don't value them. And maybe it's a construction specific thing, like director of innovation and technology is a CTO. Okay. But I do think that eventually having the weight of that C-suite title, that C-suite name, will become important.
Well, Travis, I'm really psyched that you said that, because that is also what we found out of the research. And as a little plug for myself and anybody in the MCAA community that might be going to MCAA National, we will be continuing this discussion. So the discussion on stage there about data empowerment was understanding the career paths and what those people needed. But then also from Joseph's perspective, understanding the company culture and the executive leadership change from, you know, holding back data and, you know, kind of keeping it real, everything really close to the chest, by at the end realizing that not only collecting the data at scale, but sharing the data at scale really was an empowering process, but changed their mindsets and really, really messed with them. And to your point, Travis, like, I'm not blaming the construction industry. I'm actually just calling out that we're at an evolution state, right? We're transforming, and we're going to see the need. So the need here is, I'm going to go with Jeff Elwell and Will McManus. So Jeff Elwell, CTO for EM Duggan, and Will McManus, Vice President and CIO of DSI Dynamic Systems. And we're going to talk to the leadership there at MCAA about this transformation and about that empowerment from an understanding of what they need, but also what they need to start building. Because we believe that CIOs and CTOs on that C-suite team will be the future. And the industry just has to get there, right? Everybody wants us to be there, or it's some bad thing. It's like on your technology adoption. When are we going to get to the end? You're not.
Yeah.
It's going to keep changing. And let's acknowledge that, you know, we're in process. So that's why we're doing it. And I think what's cool that I saw in my qualitative research was that those companies are invested in those people, are trying to understand what each role means and then how to define it better in the future. And not to make this all about what I did there, because I want to continue it into data played a huge role, Travis, in what we saw.
M&A too.
Yeah, M&A. Well, mergers and acquisitions has been a big one. We heard a lot about that on the undertones while we were there. But no, that data, when you talk about, you know, the final session on day two was, you know, data to action. This was a, you know, Dodge Construction Network, right? Formerly Correct. Dodge Data, doing research and providing a phenomenal amount of information for us to comb through at some point. And really talking about the technology use in the industry. And so it was really cool to see eating the own dog food, so to speak. And it went to the final session was also a session on VDC benchmarking. So to kind of mirror, right, we're staying high and we're going low, right? That's really understanding benchmarking in VDC and understanding where everybody's time is going. And where it should be going maybe in the future, and how it should be structured and what we should be looking at. So maybe talk a little bit about that data component, Travis.
You mentioned last year with ASC and Amanda and Jonathan doing the live Menti poll. That those are always fun to see how the people there are polling. We did work with Dodge this time to kind of flip it on the ear, and we did pre-conference survey and they crunch the numbers. So obviously when you're doing the sort of research, it isn't so much to be like, if this, then that, but it's more like we're seeing these trends, and then you start to, you know, why, what are we thinking here? What's causing it? So it was really a really good job of Steve and Donna they've got a lot of really good overall construction industry data. And he took us through that wonderfully. And then kind of to your point about deep diving, then Donna came in and talked about the results of the survey that we saw in comparison to, you know, what maybe is in our data that is driving what we're seeing in some of the construction. So I thought it was a really well done session, some really good data that we've got there in our surveys. And then, you know, leapfrogging into that last general session during the discussion, the three foundations, New Horizons, Electri, and John G. Gentile Foundation. That one's hard for me to get out. Commissioned a study with the University of Washington about how we're really spending time in VDC, and that's that benchmarking. You know, we hate to micromanage and nitpick our people, but just trying to understand what does a detailer really do in their day? Full disclosure, most contractors are, you know, we're putting our hours where the bucket says they need to be, but how are we really spending our day? And then how can we follow up and use that data later to have better informed estimates on the way what we're going to perform our VDC work?
Yeah.
Ask
where can we find holes?
10 different answers, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yes.
And where can we find holes? Where can we find opportunities for optimization of certain things? And if you don't expose it and you don't measure it, then you really can't adjust to it. And I think, you know, that's one of the big ones. We should have said huge day one vendor and sort of expo hall fun. Cool to see, you know, all our friends out there with all the cool toys, everything. Well, I did it there. All the cool tech that are really advancing the tools in our industry. There is some toys, though. I mean, let's be honest. But those are actually becoming more and more the actual swag and not what they're getting you to take a look at. You know, we saw some
new... game was strong this year.
What?
The swag game was strong this year.
Oh, yeah. Swag game was certainly strong. By the way, I am highly judgmental of your swag. So if you ever want your swag tested, I am here to, but you can, these two, Trent knows, I'm extremely brutal when it comes to.
No wonder
to,
you don't get anything. Yeah.
I mean, I do get things and I will wear them. But I'm brutal if they're not, I mean, I'm going to call out, you know, everybody, if you don't know, Trent works for Stratus. I got a lot of questions day one, if I had some sort of announcement, because I was wearing my Stratus quarter zip, which, by the way, hands down so far in the last 6 months, my absolute favorite swag. So it gets worn to the gym a lot, and it was a little chillier in LA. So I was digging that. But yeah, I mean, huge vendor and exhibit hall. My highlight was I stumbled across the NSA. Travis, how did that, like, did they sneak in?
No. Well, I mean, I think they're always there. No, just kidding.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't, microphone's in your pocket, so it's not really.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the planning crew really did a good job and just kind of like, you know, opening our arms. We, you know, just like everything else with this conference, we continue to grow it and get bigger. And why not? You know, let's have in these people that are trying to affect change in our industry, and let's get a chance to talk to them. So I think it was a good one to bring in there. And, you know, it's, you know, for anybody out there that's wondering, it doesn't hurt to ask, you know. Reach out to one of us and ask, and maybe you'll have a booth.
Yeah. And I encourage you to, because if you really want to get close and get feedback on what you're doing, it's a great place to do it. Just be ready. As Trent could tell you, you know, both of us have been on that floor on that side of things, and you got to be ready. These are nitty gritty. They're going to ask you some of the tough questions, which was cool too. Cause Travis, that was something else you guys did, was these kind of like, what would you call the vendor sessions to the side? Like these cool work rooms. I mean, Trent, might not have been cool to you because I saw you working a lot. But yeah,
that's
so
cool,
like
though.
A work
that's
room.
What it's there for. So
yeah, we had the opportunity this year with the hotel and just kind of the way we bought everything out to offer something a little bit different to our vendors this year. And we'd had these demo rooms. So you had the opportunity. I think that Trent, you were closer on that. You could either schedule a block or you guys just had kind of live running things. So, you know, it's always a balance to make sure our vendors get time with the members, but they aren't interrupting sessions. So it seemed like a good way to not have the expo hall open for an entire week, but also allow our members to get some more one-on-one time with our vendors.
Yeah. I think as a vendor too, you appreciate it because you put a QR code out there, you put something out there to kind of like schedule time, and you've got a whole day blocked out with a private room to do this stuff. And it saves you the time. I don't have to have people on my team out there hunting down people that are interested or people that are like a qualified lead. So, you know, it's really nice because they book the time. I mean, they want to be there. They want to know more. They're there voluntarily. So it's a good qualification for people to come into the room, and I think less effort even on the vendor side. So well done. And you don't have to have people out there hunting and pecking while there's sessions going on. You know, people kind of get the right to choose, you know, what do I want to do?
That's huge.
And then one to highlight your point a little bit more, one of the things I got from one of our vendors is I'd rather get 10 good leads out of a conversation than talk to 100 people on the expo hall, and you never know where those are going to go. So I do think that it gives that extra benefit of connecting people up.
Yeah, and I've been on the other side of planning of a lot of these, and the feedback is always 50-50, right? I want less vendors and less of that, and I want more vendors and more hands-on and real tech. And you're like, well, how the heck do you balance that? Boom, here you go. You got your best of both worlds. So if you're looking next year and you want to get your hands on some tech, that's going to be a good one. But I wanted to wrap back. I didn't want to, Travis, let the Electri New Horizons, we're going to call it the JRGF. I'm just going to go for a new acronym, the JRGF. These are foundations, the three foundations that are backed by MCAA, NECA, and SMACNA, respectively, to do research. And just like this conference, I'd love a good Venn diagram. I mean, let's be honest. Who doesn't love a good Venn diagram? When you guys did the Venn diagram of your three organizations and where you're all doing research and where it overlaps and who it overlaps with, that really highlights that this is about advancing the industry in a way that makes sense. So, I mean, that was cool, man. Talk about, some of the things that might be going on that people should be looking out for.
You know, our good friend Josh Bone with Electri, they're doing a ton of work, you know, and I think that each of the other two foundations are usually running four or five projects at a time. And then again, we have our joint projects, and I don't fully know everything yet, so it's really hard for me to comment on what it is. But one of the things I will call out and highlight is what I appreciate about these foundations, and you said it about the industry leadership. It is slightly different. So each of our organizations does fund our own research for our members, right? But the research through the foundations, that's generally released to the open public, right? So we are really trying to do, obviously there's a focus on our members and in promoting our members, but we do try to provide research, benchmarks, studies that improve the industry as a whole. And I think that's probably my favorite part of helping out with some of the foundation stuff is I know it's not just gonna, not that helping our members isn't a good thing, but you know, I've always had a penchant for trying to push the entire industry forward.
Yeah, no. And that is the cool thing to highlight about those three is that most of what they do is provided free. All you have to do is sign up. Josh says this all the time. You know, I got really familiar with it during COVID, working in the trades, and Electri did a real quick, and they came to the rescue of a lot of trade contractors to understand the impacts on productivity, especially when you're talking about, you know, how many people could be close to each other, looking at, you know, access to the site, looking at how many people could be on a lift, et cetera. Like, that's really hard to do. And these foundations can do it and do it really well. And they're providing it to the rest of the industry because, listen, they want to invite you in too, right? Like, it's the best marketing is to show the value of your organization. And I think these three foundations highlight the value of the organizations they represent. So it's really, really cool. Listen, Trent, to anybody who's thinking about this thing for next year, what are your thoughts to get them to think about it? And what did it give you anything to think about yourself for this upcoming year?
If you're somebody out there in the mechanical, electrical, plumbing space, you know, in the contracting world, and you're involved in any way, shape, or form in technology, innovation, I mean, which even to say that anymore could be freaking any position in the organization. So I don't even really know if I can funnel that anymore. But I would just say if you're someone who's in those positions and you're somebody that's listening to, you know, to the contact crew or the construction dorks, you know, clearly you have an interest in the industry and where it's going. You enough to dedicate your time to listen to a bunch of people like us talk about this kind of stuff. So you must have an inkling for it. And, you know, if that's what you enjoy and you want to move your company forward, you want to move yourself forward. Like I said, I have grown up in this industry with people that now wear president and other things on their top. I mean, so, and I'm talking that's happened in 13 years. Like this right. Isn't something that's been over a whole career, right?
It's not your 40 year career and you're just finally saying, right, it's 13 years.
That's you. Get involved. Get to this thing. I mean, I can't say enough what this whole passion and what this movement has done for me, what it's done for Jeff, Travis, John, if he was here, would say the same thing. I mean, holy crap. I 18-year-old Trent would have never imagined where he's at today. And I still don't even know where I'm going to be in the end. I think it's going to be, it's just crazy. So get involved. If you want to move forward personally and help your company, this is a way to do it.
Travis, what about from the association planning side of things? What are you thinking, my man?
Well, I'm just excited. I'll definitely start plugging next year. Next year is the same time frame, that last week of January. I don't know the dates off, probably 28th through the 31st, something like that. We'll be in Austin, Texas. There'll probably be a tour. We didn't even get to highlight that here yet. We did two tours in LA to IBEW and a Smart JATC. Those were very well received. Those are really impressive places. We'll probably continue with the tour mindset. We're going to continue to work on, you know, how do we best plan the schedule so everybody gets a little bit of everything that they want all the time. So whether it's workshops at the end, workshops at the beginning, you know, do we cram that first day with breakouts again? Well, you know, to pull on Trent's point a little bit more, reach out to us if you want to be involved. Part of the joys of this, of putting this together, is we have contractors approaching this with like, hey, I've got this idea, and we'll just be like, yep, that's a session, let's go. Sometimes they don't like it when I tell them that, but they get through the session and then they thank me later. So
I'm with you. And we didn't highlight the tours. Unfortunately, I did not get to go this year. I have gone in the past. This year my session was like really too close. So they don't appreciate that when you're,
yeah, we don't
you're
want
on the big stage
you to not show
late
up for your presentation.
But the workshops as well. I did the workshops. I did my own workshop on Friday on innovation and sort of developing your culture of innovation and looking at personality types. And there was one for everything, really throwing that play into the last day. Because by day three, it's so serious. You've done so much. And you really need to like kind of unwind a little bit. So ours was unleashing innovation. There was an executive leadership. There was a build a bot. There was a managing change. And there was a corporate AI strategy, like covering it all, man. It was, you know, with the tours and then going to see it live. If you feel like you missed out on this one, that feeling is real. You missed out. So if you weren't there this year and you're thinking you might want to, you should get there next year. And if you've been going and you think something was missing, then put your hat in the ring and talk to the, you know, reach out to your organization to talk and provide that opportunity, because we need those speakers. We need that new content.
Yeah. Like, and so one of the things you realize when you come to this side is, you know, in the past, I was a contractor. I would submit my proposal and I'd show up and present, you know, and that's really all I thought about. It's all I had to worry about. But, you know, we were 4 days away from when we, business days away from when we wrapped the conference, and we're already talking about next year. So reach out to your association side or me personally, whatever. We're starting to plan.
Yeah. And also check out the Construction Dorks, because I get to have a lot of fun with these two guys and Jonathan Marsh on our other show. So just check out constructiondorks.com. Follow us on, you know, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, just like you do this one. You'll get a good back and forth. You'll get a little different view. So thanks, guys, for jumping on and recapping with me today.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it. It's been fun. Always a pleasure.
And thank you for tuning in today to geek out for our recap of EDP Innovation with the Construction Dorks. To read all our news stories, learn about our guests, and to listen to the show, visit thecontactcrew.com. This is The Contact Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.